Hello, and welcome to the latest MIS podcast, which we're recording on the 13th of June. I'm James Cockayne, Managing Editor of MIS, and today I'm joined by our North Africa editor, Aydin Chalik. We're going to be discussing the future for gas exports from North Africa in the context of the war in Ukraine. We're going to focus in particular on the opportunities for by far the region's top gas exporter, Algeria. But first, to set the scene, it's momentous that some of Europe's key economies, including Germany and Italy, are aiming to dramatically cut imports of gas from their key supplier, Russia, and they're aiming to do so sooner rather than later. This offers massive opportunities for other current and potential short-haul suppliers. Big things that we've seen happen in recent months is FID's final investment decisions on big US export projects with a view to starting up over the next 3 or 4 years. We've also seen Egypt maximizing LNG imports, partly via imports of gas from Israel, which enable them to export more LNG. Also, there's increased talk of expansion of production in Israel from the giant Leviathan field and possibly tie-ins with the Cypriot fields that are so far undeveloped, such as Aphrodite, the subject of our previous podcast. Also, further back down the queue, but possible, is expansion of output from Mauritania in West Africa. There's some big finds there, and we've recently been writing about the potential of those being developed as LNG, with the key holder of the assets, BP, and its US partner, Kosmos, looking to export to Europe. But whilst those are possibilities down the line, the biggest potential for an increase in volumes over the midterm, at least, is from Algeria. Algeria's got a major advantage in that it's already a key supplier of gas to Europe. It was number three in recent years behind Russia and Norway, and it's already linked to the continent by three gas pipelines, and it also has ample LNG export infrastructure. So I'm going to turn to Aydin now. Aydin, can you set the current scene for gas in Algeria? How much gas does Algeria currently produce? How much does it export? And how does the gas sector there work?
Sure. Thanks, James. As you've already said, Algeria is a major supplier of gas to Europe. It's connected to Spain and Italy via three pipelines and is located just a few sailing days away for its ample LNG export capacity to reach the continent. So I want to start with some good news for both Algeria and Europe. Algeria exports to Europe are already very high compared to the depressed levels of the past few years. Total gas exports reached 54 BCM last year, and that's a decade high, with around 90% of this going to Europe. And this trend has more or less continued in the first few months of 2022. So among its big customers are Italy and Spain, to which it's connected to via pipelines, but sizable LNG volumes also go to France and Turkey. The rise in exports have come on the back of record gas sales production in Algeria, which reached 103 BCM last year, after several new upstream projects ramped up. The most notable one was the third boosting project at the prolific Hassi-R'Mel field, which we've written quite a lot about. But exports remain constrained by the fact domestic consumption has reached new highs over the past few years and is equal to nearly half of total gas production. Apparently, this is set to continue rising by about 5% a year, according to Sonatrach CEO Toufik Hakkar. Sonatrach is the national oil corporation of Algeria. Another key impediment to higher gas exports is natural decline across Algeria's maturing fields. The big ones need constant boosting projects to continue producing at their nameplate levels, but this is a constant challenge. So in sum, I think it's going to be quite difficult for Sonatrach to meaningfully boost exports above last year's already high levels, never mind replacing Russian gas in any meaningful way. The key challenge now is to increase investments into the upstream sector. But if the country wants to replace this natural decline and even possibly raise exports, it's going to have to see a massive uptick in investments, and that's not really guaranteed.
Okay, so like you say, a meaningful big near-term export boost is going to be difficult. But What about over the longer term? Is Algeria moving things forward? I mean, we've both looked at Algeria for quite a while, and it's a long-running complaint of international oil and gas firms in Algeria that the country's upstream is uncompetitive. I mean, the terms on paper are seen as fairly uncompetitive, but almost worse than that is the bureaucracy. Everyone complains. It takes, you know, takes months to drill a well, months, if not years, to get permits approved. Everything takes a long time. So since I first started covering Algeria before you, Aidan, more than 10 years ago, it's been acknowledged that there's a need for reform of Algeria's upstream to attract more investment. Is anything happening on this front?
I mean, yes and no. I mean, you're right. Big players such as Conoco and Hess have left over the past decade, and even now BP is thought to be eyeing an exit. And existing players, barring perhaps any, I mean, have been quite reluctant to expand their presence in Algeria. And this has left Sonatrach increasingly dominant over the upstream, with new projects by foreign operators few and far between. And as you've met, you know, as you said, you know, Algeria's contractual terms have been highly uncompetitive. And this, I guess, is what has driven a big part of the lack of foreign investment. But other key things has been the fact that political instability and a difficult operating environment, especially from a bureaucratic perspective, has been a big impediment. Now, Algeria has been trying to address these weaknesses over the past few years. In 2019, late 2019, it's enacted a new oil law with much better terms and has been working to improve the business environment by cutting red tape. It's also about to roll out a new investment law, which it hopes will improve things. But progress has been very slow. It's only really signed about two new deals under the new law, the new oil law. One of them was a $1.4 billion project with Italy's Eni called the South Burkheim project, which is set to start up this year. The other one was with China's Sinopec to extend the life of the Zazatine oil project, and that was signed last month. There was another deal this year with Russia's Gazprom that was signed in February to develop a few old gas discoveries in the Burkheim Basin. I'm not quite sure whether that was under the new oil law's terms. But looking forward, perhaps the war in Ukraine and Europe's energy security challenges will make IOCs think again about investing in Algeria. The country is said to be planning a new bid round where we could see exactly what sort of appetite there is.
Cool. It's one to look out for. I mean, I can't remember what year the previous bid round was, 2017, I think, but that was seen as a pretty much a total flop. I think there was 20-odd blocks on offer and four awarded, if I remember correctly.
And the few before it as well, I think they were quite underwhelming as well.
Yeah, and even the ones that got awarded, I'm not sure there's much work being carried out. So, I mean, the pipeline of projects in Algeria is pretty threadbare, and this is, you know, the outlook for the coming years is based on what's happened in the previous years, and it's not looking too brilliant. And as if to add to the complications for Algeria, another complicating factor, of course, is geopolitics, geopolitical concerns, quite aside from those related to Russia and Ukraine. As you mentioned, Algeria's got two key customers who are linked by direct pipelines to the country, and these are Italy and Spain. With Spain in particular, there's been some major recent geopolitical complications. Could you say a few words about this, Aidan?
Of course. So, yeah, Algeria cut off gas supplies via one of the two pipelines in which it is connected to Spain late last year. That was the 11.5 BCM a year Gaz Maghreb Europe pipeline, which passes through Morocco on its way to Spain. Now, the contract governing flows was a 25-year contract, was already meant to end in November, but it was expected some sort of extension deal would be reached between Algeria and Morocco. In the end, worsening relations between these two regional rivals saw Algeria decide against this. As a result, we've seen gas export to Spain fall quite substantially. I think it's about 40%. So far this year, that's a year on year in the first 5 months. and gas exports to Morocco have fallen to zero, which has forced it to shut down two key power plants. Now, Morocco says it wants to import LNG through Spain via reversal of the GME pipeline. This has yet to happen, but according to Moroccan Energy Minister Laila Ben Ali, this should be happening over the next few weeks. Now, Algeria still exports gas to Spain at, via the Medgaz pipeline. And it did this sort of in preparation for the coming end of the GME contract, sort of hedging its bets, so to speak. And this has been expanded to about 10.5 BCM a year from 8 BCM previously.
This is a direct pipeline, right, from Algeria to Spain, this
that's
one.
Correct, so yeah. It doesn't go through any other country. So, you know, I mean, for this fact, for these few reasons, relations have been quite tense between Spain and Algeria after Madrid decided to support Morocco's position on the Western Sahara dispute. Algeria is historically fiercely opposed to Morocco's claims over the territory, and it supports the local resistance movement called the Polisario Front there. In response, Algeria decided to end a 20-year-old friendship treaty with Spain just last week and has moved to restrict trade, although gas exports have remained unaffected so far.
Yeah, certainly with Western Sahara, Morocco has had quite a bit of diplomatic success the last couple of years in trying to persuade countries to adopt its line almost. I remember, was it the last month or two of the Trump presidency in the US, basically, Trump accepted Morocco's claim to the Western Sahara, basically as a quid pro quo for Morocco establishing diplomatic relations with Israel, or at least that's how it seemed. Spain, as you say, until very recently had tried to remain neutral, you know, bearing in mind that Spain's relations with Algeria are also very important. But certainly from the Algerian perspective, they see Spain as now having taken the Moroccan side over Western Sahara. And I will see. I mean, this gas relationship between Algeria and Spain, it's very important for both countries. It would be difficult to imagine it hitting the rocks, and maybe it'll be some patch up. But we'll
if Algeria, like some have feared, would end flows through Medgaz as well, that would cut off a very big piece of infrastructure in which Algeria exports gas to Spain. So it would be a major decision if it was to do something like that.
I mean, certainly you can look at gas markets at the moment and say, you know, there's gas markets are buoyant. Algeria's got different options to sell its gas. You know, they've got quite a lot of underused LNG capacity. But, you know, you only have to look back a couple of years and the gas market was in a much, much weaker state. And I think Algerians must realize that I think it we'd have to say it's unlikely that they're going to play any more hardball with one of their key customers. But in any case, for sure, our take is that in the short term, Algeria is unlikely to be able to magic up more overall gas exports. For sure, recent years, they've exported a fair amount of LNG to Asia. So some of this could be redirected to Europe. And the fact that whatever happens with Spain, it looks set to receive less gas this year than in recent years, that should mean more for Italy. I think I haven't got the details, but Aidan, you've written about a recent deal where Eni has signed up to take more gas from Algeria.
That's right. Yeah, right. Italy's been particularly keen to boost imports from Algeria, and Eni and Sonatrach signed a new deal in April with a view to raising exports via the Trans-Mediterranean pipeline to Italy, and that traverses Tunisia as well. So Eni said at the time that volumes would gradually rise starting from this year, with supplies increasing by up to 9 BCM a year by 2023-2024. But the direct impact on actual supplies is a little less clear. I mean, Algeria exported about 21 BCM to Italy via the Transmed pipeline in 2021, and nearly 4 BCM to Tunisia via the same route. So that's about 25 BCM total Transmed flows for 2021. Now, adding about 9 BCM to this would boost exports to above the pipeline's capacity, which stands at 33 BCM a year. More likely, it seems, what the deal does is increase contracted, or let's say the guaranteed level of pipeline imports from Algeria to Italy by up to 9 BCM a year. And Eni and Algeria signed another deal last month in which the two sides said they would look at developing around 3 BCM a year of new production in the Berkine Basin with a view to supporting exports. On top of this, Algerian gas is in very high demand. Tunisia has recently held talks with Algeria to boost gas imports as its own gas supply continues to fall short of its needs. So Tunisia is already very reliant on Algeria for its gas needs, but this reliance had fallen a little bit over the past 2 years as Tunisia started new projects. Key among them was OMV's Nawara project. But I would say the general trend for Tunisian upstream is down, and this is why they're asking for more gas. Now, what they're going to be asking for is probably not too much. You know, if they exported about 4 last year, they might want another half or 1 BCM. So it's probably something Algeria can do. But I guess we'll see. Negotiations there are still ongoing as far as we know. I would encourage our listeners to check out our latest issue for more detail on that topic.
Yeah, no, it was a great piece, Aidan. I guess Tunisia is a bit going into the details of Tunisia's energy sector is a bit off topic for this podcast, but for sure, Tunisia is an interesting country. It's gas from Algeria, but you know, it's trying to get off the ground in terms of solar, but. There's a lot of political stasis. They don't have much money. Interesting country, yeah.
Definitely. They're actually planning to roll out a new 2 gigawatt bid round in July, as far as I can tell. And one key bit of good news for Tunisia's renewables dreams is that the government finally approved a 500 megawatt project by a few European and Middle Eastern companies earlier this year. So we should be having some, we're definitely expecting some progress in that.
Cool. Yeah, just also in the latest issue, actually, on the topic of potential gas from the Mediterranean basin to Europe, there was a very interesting piece on how geopolitical tensions in the Eastern Mediterranean, in particular between Israel and Lebanon, could stymie the chances of that region becoming a major supplier to Europe as well. So that's one to look out for as well. So just to recap, going back to Algeria, it seems that over the midterm, the jury remains out on whether Algeria can turn around its investment climate to an extent that it can take more of the European gas market. I guess we'll look out for how many other companies, in addition to Eni, sign up for the new terms. And also with Eni, see how much they're really willing to invest. Sometimes you think with Eni signing these deals, it's a bit, they want the commitment for more gas supplies. And it was almost a quid pro quo. And we'll see how much they actually end up investing. So, yeah, I mean, it seems like with the new oil law that Algeria is finally getting its act together. We'll see whether they can move quickly enough to capitalize on Europe's thirst for gas. After all, whilst the near-term hot issue for Europe is securing more gas, longer term, the continent remains committed to phasing out gas along with other fossil fuels and to move to renewable energy. So, really, this is the upcoming game that Algeria needs to get with. And you have to say that although Algeria has got opportunities on the renewables front, given its vast desert area, so potentially it could directly export gas, export power to Europe, potentially via high voltage cables. Also, there's potential for blue hydrogen produced from gas with carbon capture and storage, and for green hydrogen. Of course, in terms of hydrogen, Algeria's got a key advantage over other suppliers, potential suppliers like Egypt or Saudi Arabia say, in that it already has pipelines connecting it to Europe, to Italy and Spain. And these pipelines, I know the Italian pipeline company Snam has been quite active in talking about using this route potentially for hydrogen imports, and they want to get the pipeline ready. So there's something that Algeria can potentially capitalize on. But you have to say, with hydrogen, green hydrogen, it faces fierce competition. And countries from Saudi Arabia to Egypt and even Mauritania, frankly, look like they're moving more quickly on this than Algeria. It risks missing the boat again. Anyway, that's a story for the next podcast, I think. So I think we're going to wrap that up for today. Cool. Well, thanks again to our North Africa editor, Aidan Chalak. I'm James Cocaine, and thanks very much to our listeners.
Thank you.
Bye.